الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء مخ العبادة. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected elders, beloved brothers and friends in Islam, we once again commence with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we send durood and salawat, greetings and salutation to the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, the last of all the Anbiya and Rusul, our beloved Master Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and friends, what would you say about a person who is suffering from diabetes, and in order to reduce the sugar levels in his blood, he takes medication for hypertension? Or he's suffering from hypertension, he's taking diabetes medicine. You'll probably describe him as a fool, or confused. Now let's go to another question. If a person is hunting, he's hunting with the bow and arrow, but the gut between the top and the bottom of the bow is slack. It's loose. Do you think he's going to be able to hunt a single animal? When he pulls the bow, the arrow is hardly going to move out of the bow. Because there's no tension. It's slack. It's not going to give any strength to the bow, or to the arrow. Now, why am I asking you these questions? What are we going to get at today? It's the question of dua. As Muslims, as people who are attending the masjid regularly, we must have heard a number of lectures, a number of talks, bayans, with regards to dua. We may have heard the ayats wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an. You know what happened? A group of sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, O Rasul of Allah, we have a question. We want to know, أَقَرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَاجِي. أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِي. Is our Rabb, is Allah close to us? So that whispering will be sufficient. Or is Allah far so that nunadihi we have to shout? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, then tell them that I am close. You know, in the Quran, there is reference to a number of questions which Sahaba posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards the ruling of alcohol and gambling. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Initially, these things were not haram. So when they were not yet haram, Allah responded to Nabi alayhi salam, قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. Say to them, فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ. There's lots of sin in them, little bit of benefit. So Allah Ta'ala used the word, قُلْ, say to them. Sometimes, maybe early or later, Sahaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the orphans. We won't go into the details, but they say, Allah says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْيَتَامَى. They ask you about the orphans. Allah wants to give the ruling about the orphans. Allah says, قُلْ إِصْلَاحٌ لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ. Allah says to Nabi alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ, you tell them. The ruling is, now I don't want to go into the ruling at the moment. They asked Nabi alayhi salam about the crescent. Still too early to look for the crescent of Eid, right? But anyway, they asked Nabi alayhi salam about the crescent. Why sometimes it's so thin and sometimes it's full? They asked Nabi alayhi salam about the waxing and the waning of the crescent. Allah Ta'ala reveals to Nabi alayhi salam, قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. Say to them. We're not going to go into the details of the answer. But Nabi alayhi salam, each time the question is posed, Allah reveals to Nabi alayhi salam, قُلْ, tell them. Now when they ask Nabi alayhi salam, أَقَرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَاجِيهِ. Is Allah close so that when we make dua we can just whisper? أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِي. Or is Allah far? So when we make dua, we have to shout. This time when Allah revealed the answer, Allah said, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. This time Allah didn't say, قُلْ فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah didn't say, Nabi, go and tell them that I am close to them. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I am close to them. Well, let me explain. The wisdom in omitting the word قُلْ this time. The wisdom in this time giving the answer straight away without telling Nabi alayhi salam, go and tell them. What's the wisdom? The wisdom is to indicate to the reader of the Quran, to indicate to the listener of the Quran, to indicate to every Muslim, to indicate to you and I, that when you make dua, your relationship with Allah is direct. To indicate when you make dua, there's nobody between you and Allah. Not even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is between you and Allah. When you wanted knowledge of the crescent, Nabi alayhi salam was between you and Allah. When you wanted knowledge of the ruling of the orphans, you needed to go via Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You wanted to know what's the ruling of alcohol, gambling, you needed to get the answer from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when you make dua, it's direct, it's between direct you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless. Then Allah says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When my slaves, when my servants ask about me, I am close. أُجِيبُ, I accept the dua of those who make dua. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. When one makes dua, if he calls me, I respond. Then there's another ayat. When in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَلَّا يَسْأَلِنَا. That your Rabb says, أُدْعُونِي, make dua to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, and I will accept your dua. Make dua to me and I will respond. Commentators say that this should be the greatest incentive for you and I to make dua. Why? Because in this ayat, Allah is saying, listen, you make dua, I will respond. You make dua, I will accept. This is a promise from Allah. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us, Inna Allah la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. Allah never breaks His promises. You and I believe in the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I believe in the purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is common sense that breaking one's promise, non-fulfillment of one's promise is a weakness. It's a blemish. It's bad character. Which means that even if Allah didn't tell us that He doesn't break His promise, even if there were no words like La yukhliful mi'ad, because we believe in the perfection of Allah, because we believe in the purity of Allah, then to you and I would believe. Then to you and I would say that if Allah makes a promise, Allah will definitely fulfill that promise. So if Allah promises servants, you cry to me, you make dua to me, definitely I will accept that dua. You know, there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Subhanallah, Allah is so different from mankind. Mankind gets angry when you ask. Some get angry the very first time you ask. Some don't get angry the first time, but maybe the third time, or maybe the fourth time, there He's coming again. There He's coming again. We may then give Him, but behind His back we will complain. Nabi alayhi salam says, but Allah is so different. Allah gets angry when you don't ask Him. Allah gets angry when you don't ask Allah. There's a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, Ad-du'a'u silahul mu'min. Dua is the weapon of the mu'min. The weapon by means of which he is able to catch the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By means of which he is able to catch the forgiveness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. Just by the way, when discussing the topic of dua, the scholars refer to a debate, a discussion that took place among the classical scholars of the past. Some of them were asking like, don't we believe in taqdeer? Don't we believe that everything happens only according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can only get employment if Allah has destined employment for you. You can only have children if Allah has destined children for you. So then the question is, the Shaykh, if everything is according to the plan of Allah, if everything is destined by Allah, if it is taqdeer, then why even make dua? A man needs employment, he needs a job. Why even make dua when he knows, when he believes that the job is only going to come with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why make dua for children when he knows that the children will only come with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But the answer that the scholars gave, the answer that most of the scholars gave, is whether you know, I mean, the answer they gave is yes, everything happens according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is taqdeer. But then too, you must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For one reason, because Allah commanded us to make dua. Allah knows that everything is according to His plan. But then to Allah commanded us to make dua. A second reason why we make dua is because it was the sunnah of Rasulullah. In the battlefield of Badr, or just before the battle of Badr, Nabi al-Islam was crying profusely to Allah to help the Muslim army, to save the Muslim army, to bless the Muslim army with victory, despite the fact that Nabi al-Islam believed in Taqdeer. Nobody's belief in Allah can be better than the belief of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet he made dua. So therefore, we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite our belief in taqdeer, we still cry to Allah. We still make dua to Allah. And then another answer they give. Yes, you believe that everything is taqdeer, planned by Allah, ordained by Allah, determined by Allah. But the reason why you make dua is because, why did Allah create us? What's the reason for the creation of man? وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Only one reason for man's creation, لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that man will worship Allah. So that man will engage in the ibadat of Allah. Now we look at the hadith, الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. And they say, you know why you make dua? Even though you believe in taqdeer? Because dua is a form of ibadat. Because dua is a form of ibadat. Not just a form of ibadat, but like the greatest form of ibadat. Nabi al-Islam says, dua is mukhul ibadat, the essence of ibadah, the core of ibadah. And while I explain why. This is because you see, the reason for ibadat is to express your servitude to Allah. To express your servitude to Allah, as if when you are making dua, you are saying, Allah, I acknowledge that I am your slave. But when you perform in salat, Allah forgive us. Allah guide us. But so often we are in salat, yet out of salat. So often we are making tawaf, yet out of tawaf. So often we are fasting, yet not fasting. The stomach is fasting, but the eyes are not fasting. But the ears are not fasting, but the tongue is not fasting. That fasting is more like starving. But when a person is in need, whether he's in worldly need or need of the hereafter, whether he's considering his worldly need, he needs a job, he needs children, he needs financial assistance, or whether he's just thinking of the need for forgiveness from Allah, in need he lifts his hands. And now when he cries, he's crying because he needs help. This is when there is utter display of humility. This is when there is a real acknowledgement of Allah. I am your slave. Oh, well, I'm so helpless in front of you. Oh, well, I'm so little in front of you. Please help me. So that is why Nabi al-Islam described dua as mukhul ibadah, the core of ibadah. But then the question comes. Okay, so we said that Allah promised that He will accept our dua. And we believe that Allah never breaks His promise. Allah always fulfills His promise. But then how come we're making dua and our dua is not being accepted? How come I'm making dua but my dua is not being accepted? So the ulama say, you see, dua is like salah. Salah has certain conditions for the validity and acceptance of salah. You can't perform salat without wudu. You can't perform salat yet the clothes you are wearing are impure, najis, napak. You can't perform salat facing the wrong direction. You need to face the qibla. So likewise, they say that for the validity or the acceptance of dua, there are certain conditions. One of those conditions is the consumption of halal food. Not just halal food, but having halal income. There's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lengthy hadith. We won't go through the entire hadith. But in the course of the hadith, it says that Nabi alayhi wa sallam spoke of this man who's undertaken a lengthy journey. Now you got to connect with them. There's another hadith. When in Nabi alayhi wa sallam says among the people whose dua is readily accepted is the musafir, is the traveler. Dua is readily accepted. So now Nabi alayhi wa sallam is speaking of this musafir, this traveler who's making dua. He's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, oh Allah, oh Allah. In the light of that hadith, he's a musafir. His dua must be accepted. But Nabi alayhi salam says, Anna yustajabu lahu. But how can this person's dua be accepted? Wa mat'amuhu haram. Wa malbasuhu haram. Whereas the food he eats is haram. Whereas the clothes he wears is haram. Meaning, the money that he used to buy those clothes are haram. One of the pious people was explaining the same meaning. So he says, you know what is dua? Dua is miftahu al-haja. Miftahu al-haja, the key to solving all your needs. Man has got needs. No human being doesn't have needs. So the best way to solve those needs is make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created those needs for men. Who placed those difficulties in man's life? None other than Allah. Now when man wants a solution, he wants to solve his problems. What does he do? He must use the key of dua. Dua is the solution. So dua is miftahu, the key to solving your problems. But then he says, wa asnanuhu luqamul halal. You know, every key has, should be called it teeth. Every key has teeth, so that the key can open the lock. So he says, likewise, dua is a key. It's got teeth. Those teeth are halal food, halal morsels. So one condition for the acceptance of dua is halal income. Then another condition for the acceptance of dua is that when you make dua, there must be concentration in the dua. There's a hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in Allah la yaqbalu dua'an min qalbin lahin aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah doesn't accept dua from a negligent and thoughtless person. He's making dua, but he's not concentrating in Allah. He's not thinking of Allah. Ulama explain. Even in this world, in our relationship with fellow human beings, when we speak to each other, if you speak into somebody but you're not paying attention, that's being rude. If you go and ask somebody for some help, worldly help, you're asking a fellow human being for help, but if you are not paying attention, number one, you are being rude, he's not going to help you. But number two, your inattention is showing a lack of urgency. It's showing, I'm not so serious about it. It's not so urgent. You can help if you want to. Most probably, he's not going to help you. So they say, likewise, when you're making dua to Allah, your inattention, your lack of concentration is an indication of rudeness to Allah. You expect the help of Allah without respecting Him. And then again, when you're not paying attention, you're not concentrating in the dua. That's like indicating Allah, you know, you can forgive me if you want to, it's not so urgent. You can help if you want to, it's not so urgent. So this takes us to another condition for acceptance of dua. And that is that when you make dua, you must make dua with conviction that your dua will be accepted. Udu Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Make dua with conviction Allah has accepted my dua. Then inshallah your dua will be accepted. Musa alayhi salatu was salam was approached by a man from the Bani Israel. Oh Musa, I'm making dua and dua. So much of dua, but I don't know. Why Allah is not accepting my dua? Musa alayhi salam speaks to Allah. Allah, why you are not accepting my dua? This person's dua. And Allah reveals to Musa alayhi salam, or Musa, the reason why is because la aqbalu dua abdin wa qalbuhu inda ghayri. I don't accept dua from a person who's saying ya Allah, but his heart is with somebody else. But his heart is not with me. He's not concentrating. Brothers and friends in Islam, there's so much more that we can speak about dua, that we can speak about the conditions for the acceptance of dua. Very briefly, another condition is abstention from sin. Because you're asking Allah for help. You're asking Allah for His mercy. You're asking Allah for His forgiveness. You're asking Allah. You can't ask Allah yet betray Allah. You can't ask Allah and yet defy the command of Allah. Even in this world, you don't get help from the people who you defy. You don't get help from the people who you disobey. Nevertheless, brothers and friends in Islam, I think I'm speaking too much. Rather than speaking, we should be making dua. But one of the pious people said, he's speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name was Yahya bin Mu'adh. Speaking to Allah. And he says, Kayfa ad'uka wa ana a'asi. Oh Allah, I feel so embarrassed to make dua. He says, oh Allah, I feel so embarrassed to pick up my hand and say, Ya Allah, wa ana a'asi, because I am a sinner. Allah, I've broken your command. Allah, I've broken your command so often. And now I'm saying, Ya Allah, I'm feeling so shy about this. But then he still says, but Allah, كيف لا أدعوك? But why should I not make dua? Whereas you are Kareem, wa anta Kareemun, whereas you are so noble. Wa anta Kareemun, whereas you are so generous. So Allah, I'm feeling shy to make dua, whereas I am who I am. Yet I'm making dua because I know who you are. Because of the generosity, because of the kindness, because of the benevolence, because of the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah. One other pious person says, you know, it's really great to have your dua accepted. But greater than having your dua is accepted, to be given the tawfiq, to be given the guidance to make dua. So many people have difficulties, but they don't turn to Allah. So he says, Al-Idnu fi dua khayrun min al-ata. When Allah gives you that opportunity to make dua, then that is even better than Allah's accepting your dua. One more point. You will say Allah doesn't break His promise, but this Maulana is breaking His promise second time already. But nevertheless, you know me, I've broken my promise many times on the same position, right? But what I was going to say, there was Yahya bin Sa'id al-Qattan, rahimah. Yahya bin Sa'id Qattan was a great muhaddith. In his sleep, he had a dream, as if he's seen Allah. And he's saying, Allah, I'm making dua, but you're not accepting. And Allah tells him, it's not that I'm not accepting, but it's that I love to hear your voice. Because I love to hear your voice. The message is, when we make dua, if we don't see our dua being accepted, it's not reason for us to become despondent, but rather we should, on the one hand, retrospect. Why? Maybe there's something wrong in the dua I'm making. You know, I started off with asking you about that fellow who's taking the wrong medication to cure or to treat his illness. Ulama explained. You know why he started with that question? The person who's making, who's going hunting, but the gut in the arrow is slack. This is when you're making dua, but you're not concentration. Or you're making dua, but your food is haram. Or the clothes you wear were bought with haram money. The car you drive is bought with haram money. Not to accuse anybody over here, but just an example. Then they say, then that's exactly your example. That's exactly your example. You've got the medicine, but you're using the wrong medicine. Or you've got the bow. Nabi alayhi salam said, dua is the weapon of the believer. But there's something wrong with your weapon. Your gut is slack. That's why you're not concentrating in dua.
And that's why you're not having the halal income for the dua to be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with iman. Allah resurrect us with iman. And Allah resurrect us in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah accept all our ibadat in this blessed month. Allah accept all our du'as in this blessed month. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.